The text for the message is from the epistle lesson that was read a moment ago. I'd like to just reread these two verses. Romans 12. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Lord, bless our minds tonight. As we listen to your word, we pray for its renewing power to be experienced by all of us. Transform our minds and make us your living sacrifices for this world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I don't know how many people realize what a miracle our minds are. Our minds are incredible, an amazing part of God's creation, something that human beings will never, ever be able to duplicate. They have the capacity for immense good. And as we've tragically seen, they also have the capacity for immense evil and everything in between. But isn't it amazing how much attention we give to the other parts of our body? For our blood pressure, our weight, our strength. What about our thinking? What about our desires? What about our feelings? Doctors learned not that long ago about the importance of the health of the mind. More and more they are trained and they treat their patients accordingly, knowing that the health of the mind affects the health of the body. Paul, in Romans 12, tells us that we should have our minds renewed by the wisdom of God rather than ruined by the problem of sin. And I'd like to begin with chapter 12, verse 2, where Paul first states this: do not be conformed to this world. The Bible throughout tells us there are two ways of thinking. We can think the thoughts of God, or we can think our own thoughts that have nothing to do with the ways of God. We can think according to the way the Word of God leads us, or the way our own sinful hearts may lead us. We can be people who look up to God, listen to Him, and strive to follow in His ways, or people who look simply to themselves, to their own hearts, who are a god unto themselves. So throughout the Bible, these two ways have always clashed with each other. We see the clash, for example, between Moses and Pharaoh in Egypt. Pharaoh wanting to keep the people of Israel in bondage and slavery. God wanting the people to serve him in the wilderness. See the clash between the worshipers of Baal and Elijah, who knew the only God to be worshipped was Yahweh. We see the clash between the Pharisees and Jesus and his apostles, as the Pharisees rejected and refused the forgiveness that God was bringing into this world through his Son, Jesus Christ. That clash just continues on throughout all of history. In the first few hundred years of the church, the Roman leaders got the idea that it would be a good thing for all Roman citizens and everyone who lived in the empire to declare that Caesar is Lord. Christians refused to be conformed to that idea, and some of them went to their deaths. Many were imprisoned over that one little issue of conformity. A few hundred years after that, it became popular to say that Jesus was not true God, but rather a creation of God. An idea that was easier to understand, but completely contrary to the Bible itself. And so, in our Nicene Creed this evening, we already said the words that Jesus is very God of very God, true God. Jesus is true God and the Son of God. Tradition, a few hundred years after that, soon superseded the teachings of the Bible in the church. Martin Luther, a monk, refused to allow himself to be conformed to that error. And at a famous meeting before the emperor of the Roman Empire, Martin Luther said, "My mind is captive to the word of God. Here I stand." Again, the clash between the thinking of God and the thinking of man has continued even in our own country. When we look back over the issues of slavery, discrimination, abortion, and the sacredness of marriage. When Paul says that our minds should not be conformed, the word there means literally to be forced into a mold and forced to take the shape of that mold. Rather, Paul says, our minds should be transformed, changed by the word of God, over and against our human opinions, whatever they may be. So let's talk about that transformation and that renewing of the mind. We all once were ignorant of God's word, dominated by sin, and we were destined to destruction. But somehow, in some way, God's word came into our lives. It may have come into our lives in our baptism, followed by our parents teaching us about the Bible and about Jesus, coming to Sunday school, coming to church, sitting in all sorts of Bible studies and instruction classes, learning on our own, reading, and thinking about the Word of God. In this way, God's Word transformed our minds. God's Word led us to repentance. God's Word led us to find forgiveness in Christ, in His life, His death, and in His resurrection. This Word of God brought us to what Paul calls the good and acceptable will of God. In Romans 8, Paul contrasts this way of the Word of God versus the way of the flesh. Those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. Those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be mindful in the flesh is death, but to be spiritually mindful is life and peace, because the fleshly mind is hostile, is in enmity against God. It is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can it be. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. God's word transforms our thoughts, our feelings, our desires. And so Paul then goes on to say, we should be living sacrifices before the world. That is to say, if the mind is transformed, then our actions will show forth that transformation in our lives. In the Old Testament, Israel, sacrifices were the way in which God and His people engaged with one another. It was through those sacrifices that they received forgiveness, through the sacrifices that they gave their praise and their thanks to God. And yet God also expected them to be living sacrifices as well. David says in Psalm 51 that the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a crushed heart you will not despise. St. John Chrysostom was a pastor who died in the year 407 A.D. This is the way he described being a living sacrifice. How can the body become a sacrifice? Let the eye look on no evil. It is a sacrifice. Let the tongue utter nothing base. It is an offering. Let the hand work no sin. It is a burnt offering. We must actively exert ourselves for good. The hand giving alms, the mouth blessing them that curse us, the ear ever at leisure for the listening to God. Paul urges us to that transformation, that renewal, and urges us as well to resist the efforts of the world and the thinking of the flesh to conform us to that kind of thinking. And so you shouldn't be worried when the world scorns you for your belief in God's word, whether that be about creation, the one way of salvation in Christ. about the personhood of the unborn, about the sacredness of marriage. It doesn't matter whether a lot of people believe the way you believe or not. Jesus warned us that the way that leads to destruction is broad, and there are many who go in by it. But God has put you here, all of us here, to be living sacrifices, to be a living witness to Christ. How will the people whose minds are captive to the flesh, how will they ever know the mind of God unless they see it in us? I began the message by saying that we don't really pay that much attention to the mind, but really we do as Christians, and you are doing it right now by being here in this place of prayer and worship. You know, in many ways, that's exactly what we're doing when we come to worship. We are coming for the renewal of our minds, of our hearts, and of our souls. The Word of God flows into our ears, into our minds, into our hearts, and out again from our mouths. We receive Christ's body and blood in Holy Communion. We receive the blessing of the Lord, and we walk out of here as God's living sacrifices, showing forth a life of repentance, of forgiveness, of renewal, of guidance according to the will of God. I pray for God's blessing to all of us, for that renewing of the mind that the Holy Spirit promises and gives in Christ. Amen. Please rise.